Glory to God. Lift your hands and say, He's great, He's good, and He's mine. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We worship You tonight. Father, we've come to lift our hands, to lift our hearts, lift our voices in worship and in praise to You. We're so grateful for the privilege of gathering around Your Word, not just around Your Word, but around what Your Spirit is doing in this hour. Gathering, Father God, together in unity around the plan of in Your heart. And Father God, we've come to hear from You. We've come to receive from Your servant. We thank You, Father, for boldness for him tonight to speak exactly what You want him to say. And Father, do exactly what You want him to do. And Father God, we will respond. We will move with You. We will do what You want us to do and go with that which the plan of the Father is tonight. We thank You tonight for miracles, signs, and wonders. Father, we've prayed. We've gotten into agreement. We've believed You for Your plan. And we thank You tonight that it will all come to pass. We thank You for miracles. We thank You for answers. We thank You, Father God, for changed lives. Father, we receive what You have for us in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. To You be all the glory for every good thing that happens tonight. There is none of us worthy, only You. And we give You the glory freely. We give it to You in advance. And we're grateful, Father, for this time together. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, good to see you tonight. Welcome tonight to the first of these meetings. We're glad you're here. Greet three or four people around you and tell them it's good to see you in church tonight. Glory, glory, glory. Good evening, everyone. Are you awake tonight? Okay, good. There you are. You came to serve us. I said, good evening, everyone. It's good to see you. We're going to have exactly what God wants us to have tonight. Hallelujah. A number of years ago, the Lord put it in my heart. I would say it's probably 5 years ago. He kept stirring in me that he wanted us to have an evangelist in the church. And I'm like, well, great. I mean, you're going to have to show me who that is. and then Pastor Nancy had Dr. Richard Roberts come to one of her meetings. And it didn't dawn on me at the time, but he was the evangelist that was to come to our church. Amen. After a number of months, it dawned on me what God was saying to me those couple of years ago. So we're glad to have him back. He's been here, I think 3 years ago he was here, then another time or two. And we're glad and honored to have him back. This is a treat for us, praise God. Iowa needs this ministry. I'm not just saying that because, you know, I need to fill up some time. The Lord said that to me. He said, Iowa needs this ministry. Praise the Lord. And so we're so honored that he would come and obey God. The Bible says that in the Bible, a number of different places it said he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. We have different giftings, different offices, different anointings. And listen, we're deficient if we're lacking any of them. The Spirit of Faith Family Church is not a body of believers that says, well, we still have pastors and teachers today, but all those other ones, that's all passed away. Absolutely not. God's, you know, set them in the church until we come to perfection, and pardon my farm boy English, we ain't perfect in any spiritual development yet, praise the Lord. And so he has an evangelistic healing ministry, as you know, but he's got a ministry to the church. He's got a ministry to the local church, and we're so honored to have him. But thank you tonight for coming. Good to see a good crowd out Saturday night. No better place to be than in church on Saturday night. Praise the Lord. Amen, amen. But I want to, you know, it's just a divine, to me, I consider this a divine connection. I believe God's plan is larger in Cedar Rapids than for this ministry than just Spirit of Faith Family Church. And I believe these are like seed meetings to introduce what God wants to do in a greater measure and in a greater way. Praise God. And so, I mean, it would be, please me just fine if we had such moves of God and healings that we couldn't get everybody in here, so we just had to rent a bigger place. Because the gospel needs to be preached to all of Cedar Rapids and all of Iowa and all, you know. So we're so thankful that you've come tonight. I believe he's going to have utterance. He's going to be able to say exactly what God wants him to say. And we're not going to sit down on him, right? I was telling Dr. Roberts in the back room, Spirit of Faith Family Church does not push the Holy Ghost to the back room. No. Because you push him in the back room, he'll go out the back door, right? But we receive what God has. We receive the move of the Spirit, and we're honored to have a man of this caliber in our pulpit. And, trained up and raised up under, I guess, in my opinion, the premier American evangelist in the history of the United States under Oral Roberts. And then under, was trained really even in some other things under Catherine Kuhlman. And so many people have imparted into his life. We're not just getting Dr. Richard Roberts here tonight. We're getting Oral Roberts here tonight, Catherine Kuhlman here tonight, everybody that's imparted into his life and his ministry and, imparted those things. We're getting all of that tonight. What an honor. What an honor. It's an honor to have this caliber of ministry in this pulpit. And we honor you very highly. We honor the anointing on you. And we're going to, just say, do all that's in your heart. Amen. I believe we ought to stand up, lift up our hands, and thank God for his ministry as he comes. Dr. Roberts, would you just come? Praise the Lord.
Bless you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, let's lift our hands and give him praise tonight. Lift your voice in the Spirit. Stir up the Holy Spirit who is in you. Hallelujah. Father, we are yours. We are not our own. We were bought with a price, and the price is the shed blood of Jesus. Thank you for Jesus, for what he did, for what he's doing, for what he will do. We praise you, Father, and give you honor and glory tonight. Thank you for this church, for Pastors Jay and Debbie and everyone here at this wonderful church in this beautiful city. Thank you for a fresh touch of the anointing of the Holy Spirit tonight. Thank you. Let me be like Jesus, and let the people not see me, but let them see him shining through me. Thank you for it, Lord. I receive that fresh touch of the anointing in Jesus' name. And everyone said amen. Well, give a shout of praise to the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Praise God. Pastors Jay and Debbie, thank you for this invitation, for this opportunity to come back here to your wonderful city. Dr. Ogle, who's traveling with me, and I drove up yesterday because you can get up here faster driving than you can flying. Because you got to go to Dallas, and change and then come. So it's just as, and also, I don't have to go through TSA and all that business. Just put what I want in the back of the car. So we drove up and we had a good time. And thank God for that. So honored to be here tonight and to be with all of you. Philip, thank you for your ministry tonight. You remind me of the time when I was a boy when my dad had a crusade in Virginia, way back in the early days. And there was a woman who lived about 100 miles away who got bus money to come to the crusade. And she came and attended the crusade, and when she got back home, the people in her church gathered around the bus and wanted to know what it was like. And they said to her, how was the crusade? Oh, it was wonderful, just wonderful. Were there miracles? Oh, yes, there were miracles. Well, did you see Brother Roberts? She said, no. And they said, well, we don't understand. Didn't you go to the Oral Roberts Crusade? Yes. Well, wasn't he there each night? Oh, yes. Well, didn't he preach? Yes. And you never saw him? No. Why? She said, that man held Jesus so high that I couldn't see him for seeing Jesus. That's what I want. Happened in Virginia. Praise God. Praise the Lord. I've been praying the last couple of days about these services and what the Lord would have me do. And he laid something on my heart tonight as a preparation for tomorrow. Sometimes a way has to be paved for the main event. And the Lord has shown me some things that he's going to do tomorrow. But he has shown me that I'm to prepare the way tonight. John the Baptist prepared the way. He said, there is one coming that is greater than I am. And I'm not worthy to tie his shoes. And that's what tonight is all about. Tonight is a preparatory to be prepared for what the Lord intends to do tomorrow. Now we have tonight, we have tomorrow morning, and we have tomorrow night. I hope you're not in a hurry.
No.
I'm going to shorten it a little bit. I will not preach 6 to 8 hours. But we're going to have a good time tonight. Praise God. I bring you love and greetings from my wife, Lindsay, who has been here and ministered here before. And she asked me to let you know that she was praying tonight. She's at home. She is cat sitting. Two of our daughters are in Oklahoma City at a wedding tonight. And Lindsay is babysitting their 5 cats. Along with our 2. So there are 7 cats at my house tonight. And I am glad that I am in Cedar Rapids. But she has to give special greetings to you, Pastor Debbie. She loves you very much. And I thank God for that. I've been doing a lot of ministry since I have seen you last. I think I was just beginning to do some of these Zoom conferences overseas to these underdeveloped nations pastors. And some tremendous things have been happening. I did a conference, a 3-day conference by Zoom in Pakistan with 15,000 pastors.
Wow.
It was absolutely amazing. 3 cities in 3 days, approximately 5,000 pastors in each city. I didn't know there were 15,000 pastors in Pakistan.
No.
You know, it's a 99% Muslim nation. But the gospel is moving in Pakistan. And of course, my subject is always my subject. I have only one subject. I may come at it 100 different ways. But my subject is healing, the Holy Spirit, and seed faith. Wherever I go, I may come at it from different directions. You know, and God gives me new light and new information. But that's where I was coming from in those meetings. And some tremendous, tremendous things happened. Many of the pastors said that they had no idea that they could pray for the sick and see miracles. And I taught them how to lay hands on people. I taught them how to speak the word. I taught them the value, like I did you the first time I came here, teaching on how to use a prayer cloth in the Bible-honored way, how to use anointing oil, like the Bible teaches, and how to pray one for another, as James 5 teaches. And all kinds of miracles broke out. I was telling Pastor at lunch today one of the stories I heard after the 3 days were over. By the way, I was in Tulsa in a studio, but by the internet through Zoom and through the technological advances we've had, especially in the last 2 years, I was able to be on a large screen in a huge city in Islamabad, and they could see me, hear me. I could see them and hear them. And I had an interpreter there, and he would interpret in the Urdu language, which is the language they speak in that part of Pakistan. And there was a Presbyterian minister who came. And he later said, I don't know why I came, but I felt led of the Lord to come when I heard about this minister's meeting. He said, I've never spoken in tongues. I have preached against it all of my life. He said, as you were teaching in the second session on praying in tongues, in the middle of the service, I began speaking in tongues. He said, I went back home afterwards and I went into my prayer room, and my wife heard me in there, and she came in and she was baptized in the Holy Spirit. He said, my children came in the room and they were baptized in the Holy Spirit. He said, I went to my church on Sunday and I gave the testimony. Half of my church was baptized in the Holy Spirit. He said, the next day, two of my elders came to me and said, we're going to turn you in to the district headquarters for preaching heresy about speaking in tongues. He said, he began to pray in tongues and the Lord gave him the interpretation, don't worry about the elders, I'll take care of them. The next day, the elders came back and said, we're so sorry, we want to be baptized in the Holy Spirit too. And they were. So it's getting through. And I've ministered there, and I have done a number of Zoom calls in India since I saw you last. And I did a Bible school conference this week in Ukraine, in an area where the Bible school is still operating because it has not been touched by the war. And we have done it in Nicaragua since I saw you last. And I'm doing one. Is it next week? No, week after next. I'm doing one in Saudi Arabia. Yes, the gospel is moving in Saudi Arabia. And it's the most amazing thing because the testimonies are just as strong on Zoom as if you're there in person. We're seeing all kinds of miracles, testimonies coming in, healing miracles, seed faith testimonies, people being baptized in the Holy Spirit, not having any idea that they could pray in tongues. So lots of good things have been happening. Since I saw you last, I have gone on television on the new Spanish network. Daystar has a new Espanol network. It's in 15 million homes. And I'm on that now. And I just went on television in Iran. You ought to hear me speak in Farsi. I can speak Farsi, you know. They're translating it. There's another voice. You see me and you see my mouth moving, but you hear Farsi, which are Persian, which is the Persian language. And so it's a wonderful things are happening all over the world. And that's as you remember, that's my calling now, because my crusade days are over as of about 6 years ago. And the Lord said, you'll spend the rest of your life ministering to ministers and being a minister to ministers on three subjects: healing, the Holy Spirit, and seed faith. That's been my life these past 6 years. And I get to come to a selected number of churches like this from time to time. And I just praise God for it. It was Pastor Nancy that introduced me to your pastors. And I am forever grateful. So thank God. Thank God for that. If you have your Bible tonight, open up to Proverbs. And let me begin to prepare the way for the healing that's going to come tomorrow. Someone tonight has pain right here on your left side. And if you'll just stand up right now, I believe there's a healing going to happen. You've got pain right here. Put your hand right there where it is. In the authority of Jesus' name, loose it.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Now, stand back up for just a minute and begin to move your body and try to find the pain. Try to find it now. What? You can't find it? Well, you know why you can't find it? Because it's gone. Hallelujah. Thank God. Now, I told God we weren't going to have a healing service, but I might be wrong. Oh, my. My. What did I say? Proverbs? Okay, look up Proverbs, the fourth chapter, and this is a preparatory, I think, for tomorrow. We'll see what else the Lord wants to do. Oh, Jesus.
Oh,
I got to remember where I am. Let me tell you, if you can't preach here, you're not anointed. You can feel the presence of God in this place. Wow. Wow. What did I say? Proverbs? Okay, let's see. Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 20, beginning at 20. My son, attend to my words. Incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart, for they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. Now turn over in the New Testament to the book of Ephesians, also chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. And look, beginning at the 29th verse. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. Words, 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 words. What you say is so critically important. When we were kids, we used to say, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. Well, my experience is words can and often do hurt you. We have all been hurt by words. Back in the 1960s, a family of three brothers formed a group called the Bee Gees. The brothers Gibb. And they were from Australia, and they wrote a song, and the song said, I'm trying to remember how the words go, words, it talked about words, the song was called Words. Words are all I have to take your heart away. It's only words, they said, and words are all I have to take your heart away. I don't think they had, or they may not have had any idea of the spiritual significance of what they were saying, because words are critically important. For God created everything that you can see from what you cannot see. He called that which is not as though it is. And it changed everything. What you say is critically important. And to get yourself in harmony with what God wants to do this weekend, I want to help you with your words. There are a lot of words being said today. When you look on the internet, when you watch the news, when you read the newspaper, there are words. And there are words that are politically acceptable and words that are not politically acceptable. And there are flippant words that are being said. And there is a lot of disagreement about words in the world today. But words, words, words are critically important. From the day you first began talking, you begin to have an influence on people with words. Words are critically, critically important. How thankful I am that I can speak the Word of God.
Yes.
Yes. To have the Word of God in my mouth.
Yes.
And to get my language straightened out.
Yes.
So that when tomorrow comes, we're all in the same area. We're in the same arena. We're in the same mood. We're in the same feeling. Words, words are critically important. They have meaning.
Yes. Yes.
Words have meaning, and when they're organized in a proper structure, you can communicate.
Yes.
But when words get out of kelter, then we get out of kelter.
Yes. Yes.
And words can destroy you. We've all been hurt at times by what someone said.
Yes.
Words can wound you deep in your heart. Thank God that we can speak his words. It is said that women speak about 20,000 words a day. And men speak somewhere between 7,000 to 8,000 words a day. And my wife speaks 20,000 words a day with gusts to 30,000. I hope she's not watching online tonight. You have anything to write on? You have a pen? Have something to write on? I want to give you four very powerful phrases that I want you to write down. Four very powerful phrases. These are phrases that you don't hear much anymore, but they are powerful. Are you ready? Here's number one. Please and thank you.
All right. Yes. All right. Yes.
Yes. Yes. Write that down. Please and thank you. You open the door for someone going into a building and they walk right by as if, you know, what do you think you're doing? Well, I'm opening the door for you, you idiot. You know? And when they walk on by, what do you say? You're welcome. Right? That's a phrase you don't hear much anymore. Please and thank you. Here's another one. I'm sorry, I was wrong. I'm sorry, I was wrong. And they say, well, if I have done something to offend you, then I'm sorry. Well, that's not an apology. You know, if my running you over in the street killed you, I'm sorry. What do you mean if? I'm laying there dead.
Yes, sir. Come on. Yes, sir.
An apology is just that. It's a sincere word. I'm sorry.
Yes. Yes.
I was wrong.
Yes, sir.
Please forgive me.
That's right.
It's hard to resist a good old-fashioned apology.
Right.
But when someone says, you know, if the construction on this hotel floor is offensive, you know, then I'm sorry. You know, just because you start hammering at 6 o'clock in the morning, you know, I want to go out there and take those construction workers and throw them down the elevator shaft, you know. I'm sorry. I was wrong. Here's a third one. How may I help you? What a phrase to say to someone. How may I help you? We're staying over at the place, it's just called The Hotel, isn't it? Next to the Kirkwood Community College. And they have a management program at their school, and a lot of their students are working there. And I don't know that I've ever heard servers or attendants at the door or at the desk be more friendly. They came and brought chocolates to my room last night, and they said, "We hope you have a nice evening." I'm not used to hearing that in hotels. They brought me an extra towel, said, "Have a nice night." You know, it makes you smile. And I replied, "Thank you. I hope you have a nice night too."
Yes.
It's refreshing. How may I help you? You know. Here's another one. Write this one down. I appreciate what you've done. I appreciate what you've done. Everyone likes to be appreciated. Everyone wants to know that what they did was a blessing. Thank you. I appreciate what you did for me.
Yes, sir. Yes.
These are words that are being lost in our society.
Right.
And I say this all the time, let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Let my words be sweet, for tomorrow I might have to eat them.
That's right.
Yeah.
Come on now.
That's right. That's right.
Let your words be sweet words. Words are so critical in our society because opinions are formed because of words. A lot of what you think of people is because of what they have said. And some people only express griping and whining and complaining. You know what I'm talking about? Look straight ahead. Don't look to your right or left. Some people's idea, you know, is their glasses. Their glass is always half empty. It's never half full. It's always half empty. And it reminds me of the woman who said, I always feel the worst when I feel the best, because I know how bad I'm going to feel when I start feeling bad again.
Wow.
Now, do you know negative people like that, that when they walk into the room, it feels like somebody got up, walked out? I mean, do you know people like that, that are negative? Their words are negative. They give off, the world would say, a negative vibe.
Right, right. Yes, sir.
Well, it's not a negative vibe. You're discerning in the spirit that they're not, their words are not of God.
Yeah.
And what do you want to do? You want to walk away, right? You want to walk away. What you say is so critically important. Some people just express their negativity. They talk about their, they talk about themselves. They say, well, you think you're sick. Let me tell you about my sickness. And they take possession of it. And they massage it and they pet it. Like it's a prize gift to them. And a lot of times when I pray for people, all they want to do is rehearse the problem. And it's hard to get them into faith to believe that when you pray, something's going to happen.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Amen.
I pray for someone and they say, well, now here are all the symptoms. And excuse me. No, I need to tell you all of this.
Why?
Why?
Why
do we have to say all of those things? Why do we have to give glory to the sickness? And if some people didn't talk about their problem, they would have nothing to talk about. I want to help you tonight to get your words in harmony with the Word of God, so that when the Word comes tomorrow, you are already in sync. Okay? You're already in harness with God. I believe in doing this, God will perform more miracles because you have more vessels who are willing to receive. You know, the reason why dogs have more friends is because they wag their tail more than their tongue. If the shoe fits, wear it. If that rubs the cat's fur the wrong way, then let the cat turn around. Okay? I can hear Brother Hagin saying that, because he's the one I heard say that. If the cat's fur, let's see, whatever I just said, I said it. I don't remember. Words, what you say. Look at Gideon in the Bible. Gideon was hiding in the wine press, trying to thresh out enough to eat. He was hiding. The Bible says he was the least of his family. When an angel came to him and said, Gideon, thou art a mighty man of valor. He wasn't a mighty man of valor. He was a little pipsqueak over here. Can you say that in Iowa? Pipsqueak? He was a little pipsqueak over here, hiding in the wine press. And an angel of God comes to him and says, you are a mighty man of valor. He wasn't a mighty man, but the angel said he was.
Yes, he did.
And somehow Gideon got a hold of what the angel said.
Amen.
And he became what the angel said.
Yeah.
And he was the one who led an army of only 300 against 10,000 Midianite soldiers and won the day for Israel.
Amen.
You see, the Midianites would come every year at harvest time and steal their crops. And he was hiding out. But now God led him to build a 300-man army so that God and only God would get the glory. And he defeated an entire Midianite army because he got a hold of what an angel said to him. I've got news. Angels are still talking today. God is still sending his word through his angels. I remember years ago, my dad was in the hospital having some polyps removed from way up in his sinuses. And the doctors had gone in and cut those polyps out, and they kept him overnight in the hospital. And he was sitting in the bed, sitting up. He wasn't ill, but they had to get those polyps out of there. And he looked up, and all of a sudden an angel walked into his room. And he had had some other experiences in his life with angels, and he later gave me the story. He said, this angel walked into my room and said, dispatch me. And my dad said, what do you mean, dispatch you? The angel said, doesn't the scripture say that we are ministering spirits for you?
Yes.
Dispatch me.
Yeah.
What do you mean, dispatch you?
Yes.
Dispatch me on an errand.
Yeah.
Give me a direction of what to do.
Yeah. Yeah.
Take your words and tell me where to go.
Yeah, that's right.
And my dad immediately thought of something that we were dealing with in our ministry that we needed help on that we couldn't handle in a normal way. And he gave the angel that word. The angel turned and left. And within a couple of weeks, that problem was completely solved.
That's right.
I remember it like it was yesterday. Words. Your words. What you say and what you hear. What you allow to come into your ear gate. Words are coming at you every day. You know. Words were coming at Jesus. A tree was giving words to him. Because Jesus answered the tree. And there's no way he would have answered it if the word had not come from the tree. The tree was saying, you're not going to have any fruit from me.
Right.
And Jesus saying, I curse you and you'll bear no fruit again. Back in the 1950s, there were two young men in Australia who were good youth tennis players. And they had the same coach. One was named Rod Laver and the other was named Ken Rosewall. They were best friends, and they were young prodigies. And they had this coach, and the coach saw something in these two young men. Rod had a very weak left-handed serve. And so the coach gave him the nickname Rocket. And that got into Rod's spirit. And he developed one of the most devastating left-handed serves in the history of tennis, having won every major title in his life and is now in the World Tennis Hall of Fame as Rocket Rod Laver. The main arena in Melbourne, Australia, where they play the Australian Open, is named after him. But the coach gave him words. His friend, Ken Rosewall, was a sickly boy. He wasn't developed in his body. And the coach nicknamed him Muscles. And something got inside Ken Rosewall, and he began to believe what the coach called him. He's also in the World Hall of Fame as Muscles Ken Rosewall. They became what they heard. What are you hearing? What are you listening to? What are you pouring into your spirit? What are you allowing to come on the inside? You know, you got two ears. You can let things go in one ear and right out the other. Or you can let it go down and deposit in your heart. And then out of the abundance of your heart, your mouth will speak. I'm telling you, if you slam your hand in your car door, you're going to say something. And what you put in is what's going to come out. Words. The words that you say. Lindsay and I had just gotten married. It was in 1980 in January. And it had been prophesied over me for years that I would have a healing ministry. Prophesied by my father, prophesied by Catherine Kuhlman, prophesied by Kenneth Copeland, prophesied by Vicki Jameson, by numbers of men and women who had prophetic ministries.
Yes.
And we had this experience in an auditorium I'm not even sure what city that was in. We had this experience where in the middle of the service, the Lord healed a man's big toe through a word of knowledge that I gave, and I didn't know what a word of knowledge was.
Yes, sir.
I said, Lord, heal that man's big toe. And a man called a few days later and said, how did you know about my toe?
Wow.
He said, my toe was broken. I'd had an x-ray, it showed a break.
came to your service that night when you said, heal that man's big toe. My toe popped and snapped, and suddenly I could put my weight on it. I went back to the doctor the next week. I had it examined. It showed a perfectly normal toe with no break. He said, what did you do? I wrote him back and said, I didn't do anything. I felt silly when I said it. And my wife looked at me and said, this is the beginning of your healing ministry. I said, a toe? And she said, well, don't despise a small beginning. Don't despise a small beginning. And she and I got our Bibles, and we began to study words. And we came across Mark 11, 23 and 24. Whosoever shall say unto this mountain, this problem, whatever it is, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he says shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he says. And what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. It had been prophesied over me. Words had been spoken into my life. And there's a timing for those words to come to pass. And it seemed to me that it was God's time. And so we took that scripture, we began to confess it. And we began to confess it day after day, day after day. And we said to the Lord, by faith, we receive a healing ministry. And we never asked the Lord again. Instead, we thanked him for the healing ministry that was on the way. We had it by faith. We didn't have it in the natural, but we had it in the spirit realm. Nobody was getting healed. I was still traveling, still praying, but no miracles were happening. But we had a healing ministry by faith because of our words, what we said. We did not mix negativeness or any doubt with it. We didn't say, I wonder if this is going to happen. We said, by faith, we have a healing ministry. And the weeks passed and the months passed, and we didn't announce it on television. We didn't tell our families. We didn't tell anybody. Just between the two of us, we got our words in harmony. Are your words in harmony? If they're not, go down to the Walmart, get some duct tape and put it across your mouth. If you can't say something positive, just be quiet for a while till you can. And we refused to doubt, but continued to believe God. And the months passed, and it wasn't long, only a few months, until we were preaching in Albuquerque, New Mexico. And suddenly the word of knowledge began flowing through me for the first time in my life. And people began to get healed all over that auditorium, including a Japanese woman who was a survivor of the Hiroshima bombing, the atomic bomb in World War II, and she'd lost a hearing in one of her ears. She was in her 80s. She was at the service. And that night, God gave me a word of knowledge for her, and her hearing was restored, and she'd been deaf in it since 1945. Wow. Now, how did that happen? That happened because of words. The words that I said, the words that I allowed to get inside me. Now, why am I saying all this? To get you prepared for tomorrow. To get your words in harmony so that when I do what I'm going to do tomorrow, you'll be receptive to it. Yes. I've got to prepare you. Yes. Remember, Elijah prepared the sacrifice. Yes. He poured the water. He cut the bull up. He prepared. He got himself prepared for what God was going to do. And I'm preparing you tonight for what God is going to do tomorrow. And he may do some later tonight as well. Okay. Because I've got news for you. I am not in charge. I've tried to be in charge. I have told God what to do. I've told him when to do it, where to do it, and who to do it to. And he's never done it my way once. He does it his way. I was preaching in a city once, and there was a street that was called This Way. It's the truth. And the next street was called That Way. And I thought, that's really amazing. And then the next street had several churches on it, and it was called His Way.
Yeah.
And I thought to myself, well, I've been this way in my life. And I've been that way in my life. But I'd rather go His Way. I'd rather get my words in harmony. Stop saying it'll never happen. Four lepers said, why sit we here until we die? If we go in the city, we're going to starve. They're going to kill us. We're going to starve. We're going to starve if we and die here. Why don't we strike a blow for our own deliverance? And they began a faith march.
Come on.
Elisha had said, about this time tomorrow, what costs you $100 will cost you a penny. And there was a government official. God bless all the government officials. They certainly need a blessing. There's a government official who said, it'll never happen. And Elisha said, oh, yes, it will, but you won't eat it. You won't see it. And you know, when they had that great miracle, when those four men marched and God multiplied the sound of their footsteps so that the Syrian army thought it was an army of Hittites coming against them. And they fled in the night and left all the gold, all the silver, all the food, all the armaments, all the tents, everything for them to gorge themselves on the food and bring back to the city. When the people in the city found out that the food was available and the famine was broken, the drought was, the siege, I should say, was broken. What happened? The man who doubted was run over.
Yeah. Trampled.
And trampled to death.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
You want to get trampled to death?
Yes,
well, if you do, just keep talking the way you've been doing.
Uh-oh.
You want to miss God? Just keep talking the way you're talking. Change your words.
Amen.
You know, when we were children, we were told there are certain words we didn't say. You know, I was not allowed to say shut up in my home. I could say, be quiet, but my mother, you know, she believed in the stars and stripes, you know. She applied the stripes and I saw the stars. We were not allowed to say shut up in our home. We could say be quiet, but not shut up. That was like a swear word to her, you know. There are things we weren't allowed to say, and we paid the price, and we learned. We learned what we could say and what we should not say. Folks, we need to learn again today. We need to stop pouring gasoline on our faith. We need to get our words in harmony. Whosoever shall say unto this mountain, oh, your words have such power. Your words have such force. Your words have such meaning. When I said I do to Lindsay, I meant it. They're powerful words. When she said, I do, she meant it.
Amen.
And God has given us a name, which is above every name named in heaven and earth. And at that name, every knee should bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Thank God. He's given us a name. He gathered his disciples together and he said, up until now, you've asked nothing in my name. Ask and you shall receive so that your joy may be full. That's the name that Peter and John used at the beautiful gate in front of the temple. That's the name they used. They used the name of Jesus. That's what we need to say. We need to get in harmony with the Bible. We need to say what God says. Because his word is true. Our words get out of kilter. And some of us need to do some repenting over the negative things that we've said. Because those negative words don't just fall to the ground. They hang out there. They hang out there. They hang out there. Scientists recently discovered words that were hanging in the atmosphere for 25 years. I read it in an Architectural Digest magazine. It is amazing what your words can and cannot do and how powerful your words are. Whosoever shall say unto this mountain, this problem, this need, whatever it is, be thou removed. Be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that the things which he says shall come to pass. He shall have whatsoever he says. It's so important. And it's so easy for us to believe the devil's lies. When he comes and sits on our shoulder and whispers, you really believe that? Yes, I do. You really believe that? You really believe it? You know, you have to say no, devil.
Right.
No, I'm not going to listen to you. I'm going to listen to God.
Yes, that's right. Amen.
Friend, it works.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Yes, it does.
Amen. It works.
Amen.
Kina kasiti kila masanda. Just begin praying in the spirit. Kina sembra kasa yatsandi ashta. Kola mozo sondiata nakasambra. Father, help us get prepared. Help us get prepared. praying in other tongues. Masindiata nakasumbra kasa. Kilamana nakasiti kishtimbra kasa yasa. Praying in tongues, Lord. Shita kasimbra kasaya. That's the only way you can pray in God's perfect will. Shina kasibra kaso yatsandi yashta. Mesanda kasibra kasa yatsandi kishti andakasa. Thank you, Father. Praise you, praise you, praise you. Praise you, praise you, praise you. Praise you, praise you, praise you. Praise you. Praise you. Thank you. Thank you for the word of life. Thank you that it's nourishment to our bodies. It's nourishment to our brains. It's nourishment to our organs. It's nourishment to us. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. And there are words that we need to cut out of our vocabulary. We need to stop saying never. We need to get out of the habit of saying that will never happen. Because we literally pour gasoline on our faith. And I don't want any of you to do that. I'm not just preaching to you tonight, I'm preaching to myself. You know, the best preaching we do is when we're preaching to ourselves. Because if we as ministers don't believe it, how are we going to make you believe it? And we've got to preach it over and over and over until it gets inside of us. John Osteen, Joel Osteen's dad, was a mentor to me down in Houston. I would go every year and preach for John. John was on our board of directors. And John would talk about meditating on the Word of God. And I said, John, what does meditate mean? Or Brother Osteen, I called him Brother Osteen. What do you mean? He said, to meditate is to mutter. It means that you take the scripture and you say it over and over and over and over and over until it sparkles like a diamond on the inside of you. So that when Satan comes, and he will come, if he came to Jesus, he'll come to you. So that when Satan comes, you don't have to say, time out, devil. Let me find my Bible. I'm sure I saw it here a few weeks ago. No, out of the abundance of your heart, what you've sown into the garden of your heart comes up out of your mouth. When Jesus was tempted in the wilderness, he said each time, it is written. The word that he had meditated on came up out of his mouth. And that's a guideline for you and for me. That's a formula for you and for me. Sowing the word of God. And the more we meditate on it and mutter it, it becomes a part of us. We don't memorize it. It just becomes part of us. So that when something comes, the word comes out of our mouth. Not, oh me, oh my, you know. Oh God, oh stained glass window, oh Bible, you know. But the word of God comes out of our mouth. Now, it's a strange thing in the world. They're not going to understand it. And I want to remind you, you are in the world, but you are not of the world. You are different. You are a peculiar person. Okay? We're driving up here. We passed Peculiar, Missouri. There's a town. Are you serious? Are you from Peculiar? Well, you look peculiar. I didn't know until yesterday there was a Peculiar, Missouri, but I saw the sign as we drove by. Pardon?
49.
You're what?
49 Highway.
Oh, and 49. Well, that's where we came up. She does kind of look peculiar. Your words. What you say. And you know, sometimes some duct tape wouldn't be a bad idea. If you cannot get in harmony with the word of God, just cover your mouth. Don't say it. I heard about this fisherman who was out on the lake, and every time he would catch a fish and it would get off the line, he would curse. And he took his pastor out, and his pastor was so embarrassed because this man would get a fish in the line, the fish would get off, and he'd just curse and yell and scream. And the pastor said to him, you know, why don't you say something positive instead of cursing and saying such negative things. Man, say, I'm so sorry. It just comes out of me when I lose a fish. Well, finally, he got a big old bass on the line, maybe an 8-pounder, big old bass. He got right up to the boat, and it got off the line. And the pastor braced himself. And the man turned to the pastor and said, Pastor, something ought to be said. And that's the way many of us feel. We feel like we've got to express something that's negative. You know, I have family members that don't know the Lord. All of us do. Don't ever say, they'll never come in. Call them in by faith. My mother said, son, you'll never get away from my prayers. She marked me with her prayers. She would not let her number three child go. Even in all the things that I was doing at that young age, she held on to me. And she wouldn't let go. Son, you'll never get away from my prayers. And I was involved in just about everything that a young teenager could be involved in. And she wouldn't give up. She wouldn't quit until I came to meet the Lord. Don't quit. Don't stop. Just think for a moment about those three or four men that held the rope for the Apostle Paul. You know, it was at night. It was dark. It was dangerous. And they could have been thrown in jail if they had caught them helping Paul over the wall. And they put him in a basket, took the rope, helped him get up on top, and then lowered him on the other side. They held the rope for him. You know, and some of you have been holding a rope for a long time for somebody. Well, those men didn't turn loose of that rope.
That's right.
You know,
Amen.
They may have been holding on tightly. Their hands may have been tired, might have been sore, but they held on and they wouldn't let go. They wouldn't let go. And many of you are holding the rope for a son or a daughter or a grandchild or someone else in your family. Just like I am. I thank God that my daughters are saved. They all love the Lord, but I have distant. You know, I have in-laws and outlaws. How about you? I'm talking about both sides of the family. Some of them, they don't know the Lord, but I'm not giving up on them. I'm not going to call them names. I'm going to call them saved. And you know what? You may be the only one God has holding that rope. And who knows? Your basket may about be ready to touch the ground. So don't give up. Don't quit. Get your words in harmony. In Jesus' name. Father, it's not by might and it's not by power, but it's by the Holy Spirit that I pray this prayer tonight. And there are some here tonight who have been making negative confessions, and they know it. And they know that's the reason why they came to the service tonight, so they could get that part of their life cleaned up. I'm not trying to embarrass anyone. I'm not trying to show off or to make you intimidated in any way. But I just feel in my spirit there's some here tonight that you've been making negative confessions, and you see now that you're wrong and you've got to change it. You've got to change what you say. If I'm describing you, just stand up right where you are. I want to pray for you. Don't be embarrassed. If that's you, yes, just stand up right where you are. Don't be embarrassed. I'm not going to call you down to the front. I'm not trying to embarrass anyone. A number of you need to get your words in harmony with the Word of God. You've been wondering why you've not been having miracles in your life. It's because of your words. Remember what the angel said to Daniel? I came because of your words.
Yeah.
I came because of what you said. He had to fight through the powers of the prince of the air.
Yeah.
Took him a number of days. But he came, he said, because of his words. And I don't remember who it was, but somewhere in the Bible, I think it's Malachi, where the prophet said, your words against me have been stout. I think it's Malachi. Your words have been stout against me.
Yeah.
And you don't want to be in that situation. Because God spoke to the people through Malachi and said, you're cursed with a curse because of your words and your actions. I don't want to be cursed with a curse. I want all that God has. So somebody else, and you know it needs to be, you need to be standing, because you've just been confessing all the negative instead of the positive. Your glass is always half empty. It's never half full. If that's you, stand up. Don't be embarrassed. I'm just going to wait till you stand, because I don't want anybody to be missed tonight. Now, I want you that are standing to lift your hands, and I want all those of you who are seated to lift your hands as well. And let's all of us pray this prayer out loud. Father, tonight I repent over negative words. And when I repent, I mean by that, I change my mind. And tonight, I change my vocabulary. No more negative words. I'm going to speak positively. In Jesus' name, I make this commitment to you afresh and anew. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Somebody give praise to the Lord tonight. Wow. Doesn't that feel good? It feels so good to get your words in harmony with the Word of God. And I pray you'll never, ever, ever, ever be the same again. Who needs special healing prayer tonight? Stand up. Anybody that needs special healing prayer? That's why you came down up from Missouri, isn't it? Who needs special healing prayer tonight? I know we're going to have a healing service in the morning, but that doesn't mean I can't pray for you tonight. Anyone needs special healing prayer? Somebody reach over and touch them. Scripture says in James 5, pray one for another that you may be healed. It means you pray for someone else to be healed, and that healing then can come back to you. Father, in the authority of the name of Jesus, I come against this satanic attack. Whatever it is, I not only rebuke it, but Satan, I command you, loose your grip in the authority of Jesus' name. Just a few weeks ago, Pastor, when I was actually back in January, when I was at Pastor Nancy's at the conference, the Lord showed me that I was to take authority and tell Satan to loose his grip. And the reason is because I was reminded by my wife that when my dad was healed of tuberculosis, the man who prayed said, Satan, loose your grip from this boy. Loose him and let him go. And he was healed that night. And so I've been praying differently. Did I give you permission to sit down? Did you hear me say the words, be seated? Because I haven't really prayed for you yet. Did you think that's all there was? Father, right now, by the authority of the name of Jesus, I speak the word into everyone standing. I speak to sickness and disease. I speak to fear. I speak to doubt. I speak to worry. I speak to anxiety. I speak to depression and discouragement. I speak to disillusionment. I speak to a sense of loneliness. In the name of Jesus, I curse that at the root, and I command it to come out of you. Satan, you loose your grip in the authority of Jesus' name. And I send the word of God to you tonight, according to Psalm 107, verse 20, which says, he sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. I send that word to you, whatever the need is, in the authority of Jesus' name. Satan, loose your grip, loose your grip, loose your grip in the name of Jesus. Now lift your hands and begin to give him praise and thank him for healing that is beginning in you now. Someone has pain on your shin bone, on the front of your leg. I'm not sure which leg it is. Who is that? Wave your hand at me where you are. It's on your shin bone. I'm not sure if it's your right or your left leg. You've got pain on the front of your one of your legs. Who is it? Wave your hand at me. Where are you? Is it you? In the authority of the name of Jesus, I speak to your shin bone. I rebuke the pain that's in your shin. Come out in Jesus' mighty name. Now just examine your leg now. What? Doesn't feel bad? Was that as bad? Well, Lord, I'm not happy with that. In the name of Jesus, I want all of it to go. Right now, there goes, in Jesus' name, loose that bone. Hallelujah. Are you coming to church in the morning? I believe by the time you get here in the morning, you'll be completely healed. You can be seated now. You know, my wife began having migraine headaches when she was a little girl. And she didn't tell me about it until after we got married. And she began having those headaches. And I said, "What's wrong?" And she said, "Well, I've had these migraine headaches since I was a child. And they come every so often." She said, "I have to close myself off, go in the bedroom, draw the drapes, put the pillow over my head." And she was having one of these attacks. And she said, "Would you call your dad and ask him to come down our house and pray for me?" And I said, "Sure." So I called my dad and he came over and he laid his hands on her and he prayed. And then he said, "Lindsay, you'll have these headaches 3 more days and then you'll never have another one." And he turned to go. And Lindsay said, "What do you mean 3 more days? Why can't I just be healed now?" And he said, "Well, I don't know. I just heard the Lord say, you'll have them 3 more days, and then you'll never have another one." And then he said, "You're winting." And she said, "What do you mean? I'm winting." He said, "The Bible says some people were healed as they went." Oftentimes when someone like me prays for the sick and the miracle is not completed at that moment, people think it hasn't happened. A lot of people find out the healing is the next day or the next week. And I think that's an encouragement to people. And one of the worst things that I ever heard anybody say was when they prayed for someone and there seemed to be no miracle, I heard them say, "Well, it must be you have no faith." Well, that is one of the cruelest things I've ever heard anyone say. Because it's a lie. The Bible says you have faith. God hath given to every person the measure. Not a measure, the measure. You have the same faith that I have. You have the same faith that Paul had. You have the same faith that Peter and James and John and all the others had. So don't let anyone say that to you. And you'll certainly never hear me say anything like that to you. What you'll hear me say is, "Now I'm standing with you in faith, and I'm not coming out of this agreement until this miracle comes." Now, tomorrow morning, we're going to be in harmony and in unity. Remember when Jesus told his followers to go to an upper room for prayer, and he told them to come together in harmony so the Holy Spirit could be poured out. They had to come into harmony and unity. And then the Holy Spirit would be poured out. And they came into that upper room and they came into one accord. I don't know how long that took, but it took a while apparently. But when they did, then the Holy Spirit was poured out. And there was like a rushing mighty wind and there appeared over their heads as it were tongues of fire that began to speak in tongues as the Holy Spirit gave them utterance. All right, that's an important thing to you because I want us to be in harmony in the morning. Okay, so that when you come in the morning and we have the healing service that God showed me he wanted me to have here, there will be lots and lots of miracles. So let's get on the same page with our words tonight. Let's don't walk out of here tonight saying, "Well, I wonder." I wonder. You know, there's a Christmas song, I Wonder as I Wander. I hate that song. Because I'm not wondering and I'm not wandering. I'll sing a lot of Christmas songs, but I'll never sing that song. Okay? I don't want you to be wondering and I don't want you to be wandering. Let's all be in one accord. Let's get our words in harmony with the Bible. Let's be in faith. Let's be in expectation. That's why my father always used the words, expect a miracle. Expect a miracle. Say that with me. Did I ever tell you the story about how that phrase came into being? Did I? I did? Well, it was in the early days of his ministry. I was just a little boy. We went to Miami for a crusade. And there was a group of atheists who vowed to close the crusade down and perform what they called a citizen's arrest on my father because he was practicing medicine without a license. That was what they were going to say. And they were going to tear the tent down and arrest him. And it was his custom when we children were along that they would rent two hotel rooms with an adjoining door. At about 3 o'clock in the afternoon, when it was time to him to start getting ready for the service, he would have us, my mother and us children, go into the other room and close the door. And he would spend that time getting prepared for the service. He'd usually take a short nap and then get his Bible and study and get ready for the evening service. And we knew at 3 o'clock we had to be quiet because Daddy was in the next room. And that afternoon he fell asleep on the bed when he was awakened by a hand on his shoulder. He thought it was my mother. But my mother was not in the room. It was the Lord. The Lord awakened him and said, Oral Roberts, expect a miracle. That's where the phrase came from. Because it was my father who coined that phrase. And then he said to him, Oral Roberts, expect a new miracle every day. Well, we went to the service that night and the atheist never showed up. One of the greatest crusades of his ministry, some 20,000 people a night. Many miraculous healings. And he began saying, expect a miracle. Amen. He'd come on television saying, expect a miracle. And close our program, expect a miracle. You know, thank God for that.
Yeah.
And I've learned that all my life. I've learned to expect miracles. Don't expect the other shoe to drop.
No.
Don't say trouble comes in threes.
No,
no, no, no. Confess the word of God. Now, are you all in agreement for tomorrow? In harmony together?
Yes, sir.
And if you're not in agreement, get some duct tape. And you know where to apply it. Okay? And maybe we'll tear it off in the morning and get it right, okay? Praise God. All right. Are you happy with tonight?
Yes.
Now let me ask a question. What did you get tonight? What? What'd you get? Word. What's your words? What'd you hear tonight?
Words.
Words. What came in your spirit tonight when I was talking? What'd you hear? Pardon?
Speak positively.
What'd you hear?
My words have the power to author.
My words have the power to what?
Author.
To author?
Yes.
All right. What'd you hear?
Speak the word.
Speak the word?
Speak anything else.
What'd you hear?
Be in harmony with God's word.
Your words are what?
Be in harmony with God's word.
Be in harmony with God's word? What'd you get? What'd you get out of tonight?
Be gracious with your words.
Be gracious with your words. Because tomorrow you might have to eat them. What'd you hear?
Words are critical.
Words are critical.
In unity.
What?
In unity.
Yes. What'd you say? What'd you hear?
Words are powerful.
Words are powerful?
Yes.
Your words are powerful.
Yes.
What you say.
Yes.
It's not what somebody else says. What you say.
Yes.
You know? Someone says you're a failure. No, you're not a failure. No, I'm not an accident going off somewhere to happen. No. I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I can do all things through Christ because He strengthens me. Greater is He who's in me than He that's in the world. When we would get in the car after a service, we had to be very careful what we said to my dad. If we made the mistake of saying, Daddy, I enjoyed your message.
Yeah.
He would say, name three things you liked about it.
All right.
We had to be prepared. If we said to him, we liked your message, we knew we better be ready with three things. Because he was going to nail our hide to the wall to see if we were paying attention. Were you paying attention tonight? Did you get it? Smile at me like you still love me, okay? Because more than anything, I want to see you receive tomorrow. All right? We'll give praise to the Lord. Hallelujah.